For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm sure that we probably all know Frankenstein, or at least know of Frankenstein's monster or seen Frankenstein's monster, but maybe you've never read the book. Or watch the movie. I'm a weirdo. I've read the book. I haven't watched the movie. I don't know if it's the same, but in the book, it's a very interesting picture, very good picture of what it would be like if man could give life like God. Because what you realize is that we'd be terrible at it. We are very imperfect, and so we would give life imperfectly, and that's or imperfectly, and that's what happens in the book. Frankenstein's reaction to this creature that he makes is imperfect as well. He spends hours, months studying and researching and working and slaving away towards this one goal to the point that he makes himself sick. And in the end, when he reaches it, and the very moment this creature that he is creating has life, he realizes that he has made a mistake, and he's disgusted by it, and he runs away. And it's a very it's a heart-wrenching moment, really, but it's also very unsurprising, and that's the thought that really kind of struck me like a ton of bricks. That's what we do. I mean, you think about the one-night stand, where the very next day the one of the parties just wants nothing to do with the other. Or, dwelling on something until you finally get a chance to take out revenge, and then you realize that, hey, it's not as sweet as it seems. Or, you know, sending out that hateful text about a person only to realize that you sent it to the wrong person. Or whatever it may be, we make mistakes. And when we do, we run away from them. Or we try to justify them, or we ignore them. And God is different. God's creation made itself into a mistake. God didn't make a mistake. We did. We turned away from Him. And we see in Genesis 6 and verse 5, "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." And God at this point would have been far more just than we have ever been to just get rid of his mistake right there, to completely wipe it out. But he doesn't. He allows his creation to survive, and even though we got bad again after this point as well, he took it upon himself to fix our mistake on a cross. You know what that should be when you think about it? Humbling. You see this in Proverbs 18 and verse 12. "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but humility goes before honor." But what if God takes away the destruction? What if God gives honor to a people that doesn't deserve it? Do they have any right to be haughty? Well, no. And no human does. It's just that we should be the people that realize it. Pride is something that, it kind of reminds me of a game of whack-a-mole. When you got a whole bunch of pride going on, it's like a game of everyone competing to see who can be higher, but it's the one who lowers themselves that escapes the hammer. And through Christ's sacrifice, we're just taken off the board completely. Why would we ever want to go back to a game where nobody wins? Humility is what we want. And humility, especially when others make mistakes against us. We realize that we have made mistakes, and that we continue to make them too. Jesus said about the hypocritical Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 4, "They tie up heavy burdens and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. If we expect people to be perfect, if we expect them to have the perfect response every time, or the perfect apology, or even to perfectly realize that they've even made a mistake, we have to ask ourselves if we are ready to bear the same burden as well. Because if we're not, or if we are not, then we can take comfort in what it says in Matthew 23 and verse 12. "Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, but whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." When we think about all the mistakes that we've made in our life, do we deserve to be exalted? No, of course not. And yet God is willing to lift us up if we're just willing to show humility in our life. Let's go over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and I'm going to begin reading verse 21. "During the Passover before the crucifixion, Jesus said in verse 21 of Luke 22, 'But behold, The hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who is going to do this thing. And what do we see in verse 24? And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. Notice at what point they are doing this. Jesus says, I am going to be betrayed. And this is what the conversation turns into, is who is going to be the greatest. Unfortunately, it sounds a lot like my priorities some of the time. I stand here today in the light of the cross and in what Christ has done to me, and yet I still worry about my honor or my dishonor, as it may be. And I find myself unable to let things go. Verse 25, and he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus' answer to all of this is what they do is different from what you do because of what I do. The Gentiles and the world holds honor, holds their honor above others, and the world is unforgiving. It is not that way with us because Christ has served us. How? For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If Christ died to take care of the mistakes that we never could run away from, then we should not run away from an opportunity to show the mercy that he has shown to us. If you have not experienced that mercy yet, then tonight is the night. Christ has died for you as well. And if you're ready to accept that new life that he offers, please come forward. Be baptized into our Lord while we stand and as we sing.